Like to welcome everybody to Murfreesboro Baptist Church this morning, as well those in person, as well as those that are watching on Facebook or some other social media. If you happen to be a visitor here today, please fill out one of the visitor's cards and put those in the offertory plates as they're passed. There's several announcements on the back of the bulletin. There's a few I want to bring to your attention. One is the family of Charles L. Paul. They're going to be gathering to celebrate his life, and they'd be honored if you'd join them. He was a 1955 graduate of Chowan, a professor of history and geography at Chowan for 39 years. And they're going to have a celebration of life service on Friday, October the 6th at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Chowan Chapel. So if you'd like to join them, that's again Friday, October 6th at 7 p.m. in the Chowan Chapel. Starting today and continuing through the end of the month is the annual Union Clothes Drive. So if you've got any clothes that you've pushed to the back corner of your closet, now would be a time to get them out and put them in the connector. Immediately following service today is the presentation of the 2023-2024 fiscal year budget by Don Johnson. So please stay for that so you can hear that and approve it. On October the 4th is our next big Wednesday. Marietta's going to be having lasagna, salad with homemade dressing, and garlic bread, correct? Yes, please let her know so she knows how many people to make the meal for. Tuesday, October the 10th, is the deacon's meeting in the church library at 6 p.m. On Sunday, October the 15th, we'll be having a potluck luncheon to welcome Dr. Gaskins and his wife, Joanne, to Murfreesboro Baptist Church. It is also the day of our ministry fair. And I'd like to share a passage with you that concerns that. It comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body of Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who contributes, liberally. He who gives aid with zeal. He who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And I would really like, over the next 2 weeks, do you give some prayerful consideration to what are your gifts? What can you contribute to the church? And during the ministry fair, there'll be a lot of things to sign up for. Everything from, I know Jay Revel is looking for some more ushers. We need people to give to the food bank. People to sign up set up communion. So there are going to be a plethora of things you can sign up for, and we'd love to have everybody contribute somehow. Also, like I said, that's the day of the potluck for Dr. Gaskins. And prior to that, there is a basket next to his study. So if you want to put a small handwritten welcome, feel free to place those there also. In the past, you've heard several of our pastors say that this is God's church. It's not my church. It's not Judy's church. It's not TK's church. It's God's church. But we have a responsibility with our minister as our spiritual leader to take care of this church. So really and truly, think about what can I do to be more active in the church and to make the church stronger. Today, we are turning over a new chapter and the history of Murfreesboro Baptist. We will be officially welcoming our 27th minister, Dr. Mark Gaskins. I say officially because he's been here, him and his wife have been here for a week and a half. But during that week and a half, he's been working. Through the generosity of two of our members, they took him and his wife to the Chowan football game a week ago, where they could sit in the dry confines of the president's box. And one of Dr. Gaskins, one of his top five priorities, is he wants to try to get that connection between Murfreesboro Baptist and Chowan started back together again. So he was able to meet several people at that game and talk to them. It ended up with him having lunch earlier in the week with that individual. He also, him and his wife also went to the dedication of the chapel. And he had worked with some of the people that are over at Chowan now, but he had also got a chance to meet the president, the acting interim president. And he's also been out and about in the town, and he's met some of the local pastors. So I'm saying officially today's his first day, but he's been out and about all week. I also happened to talk to Teresa earlier in the week. I was out of town, and I called her up, and I said, did they ever get the sign out in front of the church that Dr. Gaskins is our pastor? And she said, well, they never called me. Let me go see. She said, they could have called when I wasn't here. She said, because Dr. Gaskins has been in his office every day after I left. So he's been up at the church working, and we are grateful he's here. If my recollection is correct, Dr. Gaskins found out about our opening here. He made contact with Dr. Bailey. They talked about the town of Murfreesboro, about Murfreesboro Baptist Church, and he still felt like that was the place he wanted to be. He felt drawn to this town, to this church. So his resume was forwarded. We had one of our first Zoom meetings with you. I think it lasted over an hour. We had just a plethora of questions we wanted to ask him. And after the end, I don't know if it was Debbie or if it was Charlie or if it was Marietta, but somebody at the end said, you know, that was more like a casual conversation with a friend than it was an interrogation. He was easy to talk to, easy to respect, easy to get to know. It's almost like you were talking to an old friend, and that's really, well, we really started liking you.
I felt that way as well.
And then when he came, I mean, we had bunches of conversations with him, and finally it ended up us calling him to the church here, and we had a reception. And during that reception, towards the end, Joanne happened to see some ladies that were talking, and she pulled up a chair and just joined in the conversation with them. And next morning, she was at church. And I told Dr. Gaskins after the vote, I said, you know, I said, the women at the church, I said, no disrespect to your sermon, I said, the women at the church were sold on you before you even opened your mouth. I said, because of your wife. I said, they loved her. They thought she was easy to get to know, easy to talk to. And he said, yeah, I've been blessed with a wonderful wife. But evidently, both of them have that same type of ability just to make everybody around them at ease. So we're really happy that they're going to be here. We're happy that he happens to be three doors down my neighbor. So that's nice. But I'm going to ask everybody to, at the end of church, please take time to welcome him and his wife here at church. But they also wanted me to do something else for him today. And so Dr. Gaskins and his wife, they wanted everybody at church to know that they were here, that they were wanting to be part of this church, wanting to be part of this town. So they wanted to come forward, and they wanted me to present them for membership. So Dr. Mark Gaskins, Miss Joanne Gaskins, would like to present themselves on transfer of letter from Temple Baptist Church in Wilmington to Murfreesboro Baptist Church. So all in favor with a hearty amen?
Amen.
Sounds like a unanimous vote to me. So we welcome our 27th minister. Y'all don't want to hear me preach, I'm sure. So I am going to turn the rest of the sermon over to Dr. Gaskins.
Well, let's join now in singing our choral call to worship, number 268, The Bond of Love. It's also printed in the order of worship. Thank you for welcoming us here, and the feeling with the comfort with the committee after that first meeting or in that first meeting was the same with me as it was with you all, Tommy, and we are delighted to be here and to be a part of Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Let's stand and sing together. We are one in the bond of love. Spoken call to worship. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Let's join together in prayer. Oh God, our Father, we're truly amazed at your love and your grace and your providence. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in this place today as we have gathered together to worship you. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us together as pastor and people. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us in this time of worship today, and that you would bless us in the years to come as we serve together in the work of your kingdom. Oh Lord, make your presence known among us in a powerful way today, especially as we share in the supper of our Lord in Holy Communion. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace in Christ. Bless us now as we worship you. May your name be honored and glorified and exalted, and may your church be built up. We pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's join together in singing number 457, Come and Feast, for All Are Welcome.
Oh.
It's from the book of Romans. Where is Romans in the Bible?
New Testament.
And Romans is one of those letters that Paul wrote. Paul wrote a lot of letters. Remember our poster downstairs? We've got all those different colors for the different parts of the Bible. And in it, it says, one body with many members. Members do not all have the same function. In Christ, we form one body. Each member belongs to the others. So last week, we talked about the fact that Mary Welch and Winslow were very good at softball. Jax, what's something you're very good at? Besides annoying Charlotte. Come on, you're good at something. You're good at math? Okay. Basketball? No? None of those? Well, what are you good at?
Annoying Charlotte.
Okay, we'll go with that one. Charlotte's shaking her head. She agrees that you're good at that. So, but we can find ways to not annoy your sister, but to be nice to your sister. And we can take all of our gifts, whatever they are. What is something y'all could sign up for at the ministry fair? The ministry fair is what Mr. Tommy was talking about, where everybody signs up to do something to help out and do their part in the church. Can you sign up to bring food for the church food pantry?
Yeah,
you can do that. You can go out every week and get something. So there are things, no matter how little or how big we are, that we can all sign up for, right? And we can all use our gifts, whatever they are. We've got to find a better one than annoying Charlotte to get through and show everyone that God loves us and use our gifts for God's glory, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for our gifts, and we remember that we are all part of this one body, your body. In your son's name, amen.
Thank you. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we get together to pray this morning, we have a request for Debbie Mayan, I believe that is, recovering from heart procedure. And so let's remember her along with others. We're glad that Charlie Acock is doing better and able to be here. And we want to continue to remember him as well. So as we join together in prayer, let's have a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll offer our prayer. Let's pray together. Almighty and eternal God, creator of the universe, sustainer, redeemer, and judge, how amazing it is that we can come to you and call you our Father, that you invite us to do that, that you call us to do that, that when our Lord Jesus taught us how we should pray, he began, our Father who art in heaven. We are so grateful, Lord, that we can come to you as our Father, knowing that you have made us your children through what you've done in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And Father, we thank you that as we come before you, you call us to offer our praises and to make known our requests. And so, Lord, we praise you for who you are, for all that you have done, and all that you are doing and will do. As we look back through history and through Scripture, we see how you created this universe and how you created us in your own image. And when we had gone our own way, you already had a plan and a purpose to redeem us. Lord, we thank you for how you worked down through the ages to work your plan of redemption, that you worked through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and through your people Israel, and that through them you sent the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, Father, that he showed us what it means to live in right relationship with you, and that he made it possible for us to do that through his own life and death and resurrection and ascension. We thank you, Father, for the promises that we have in him, that one day he will return in glory and will raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation. All glory, honor, and praise to you, O Lord. And Father, we come offering our requests with our thanksgivings, Lord. We pray for those who are in need, those who are sick, those who are recovering from surgery, those who are recovering from other illness, those who have ongoing illnesses that they are dealing with. Father, we thank you that you are the God who heals. We know that sometimes you choose to grant healing and sometimes you choose to grant endurance. And Father, we thank you for that miracle as well. We pray, Lord, that you will grant whatever furthers your purpose and your kingdom in each situation. Lord, we know that there are others that are dealing with other kinds of challenges, whether they be financial or strained relationships or other kinds of difficulties that they're facing. We lift them to you as well. And Father, we lift our community to you, praying for the town of Murfreesboro and the surrounding communities, asking, Lord, that you will help us to be a shining light in this town, that you will help us to be engaging the community around us, embodying the presence of Christ to Murfreesboro and the world, and reaching out and sharing your love in deed and in word so that others may come to know you. Father, we thank you for this church, for its rich history. We pray that you will continue to work even as you have done before. And Lord, that you will work in new and even greater ways in the years to come. Father, we pray for missionaries wherever they are serving. We pray for persecuted Christians. We pray for our nation, for our leaders at all levels, and ask your guidance for them and that you would help them to do what is right. Father, we are grateful that we can come to you. We are grateful that you have made us your own. And we pray that you will help us each to be faithful disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will help us as a congregation to be faithful in being what you call us to be and doing what you call us to do. And so now, Lord, we gather up all these prayers, spoken and unspoken, all that's on our hearts and minds, and we lift these to you, Father, praying that they would rise as a sweet incense before your throne. Lord, that you would hear and answer according to your will. And we offer these prayers now in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Son, our Lord, your Son, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. And now let's join in our hymn of thanksgiving, number 463, From Every Race, From Every Clime. Our giving is an important part of our worship because it's an expression of our thanksgiving to God. And the greatest motive for our giving is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich."
Thank you.
And so, Lord, we pray that you would be pleased to receive these gifts and to use them for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes, first of all, from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then in chapter 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, toward the end of it, he says to the Father, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And Father, I desire that those also whom you've given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Keep on singing. 10,000 reasons.
you. We appreciate that. You know, sometimes you just have to state things bluntly. Listen to these words. Many Christians have been infected with the most virulent virus of modern American life, what sociologist Robert Bella calls radical individualism. They concentrate on personal obedience to Christ as if all that matters is Jesus and me, but in doing so, miss the point altogether. For Christianity is not a solitary belief system. Any genuine resurgence of Christianity, as history demonstrates, depends on a reawakening and renewal of that which is the essence of the faith. That is, the people of God, the new society, the body of Christ, which is made manifest in the world, the church. Chuck Colson wrote that in his book, The Body. And you know what? He's exactly right. He's exactly right. This image of the body, this idea of the church as the body of Christ, is a powerful metaphor, and Paul used it over and over in his writings. Here in Romans 12, that's serving as our text this morning, is one of the instances that he used it. And I want you to listen again to verses 4 and 5. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Now his emphasis here is interesting, isn't it? Just as our human bodies are made up of a variety of members with a multitude of functions, so is the church. All these different members make up one body. Now, most of them are very different. And even those that are alike, like our hands, our arms, our ears, our legs, our feet, our lungs, our kidneys, even though they're alike, they're opposite because they're on each side. They mirror each other. Well, the church is the same way. Though we have much in common, we're all different in some way. We all have our different functions within the body of Christ. We work in concert with one another for the body, and it's good as God works out His purpose for us and through us as the body of Christ together. Now, of all that Paul says, maybe the strangest thing is his statement that we individually, we are members one of another. You ever heard that phraseology? Usually we'd say we're members of one another. But he says we are members one of another. Not just members of one another, but individually members one of another. It's a subtle distinction, but it's an important one. Because by saying it the way he does, he's emphasizing both the individual and the body. And he's emphasizing the mutual nature of the relationships within the body of Christ. This business of being a part of the members runs both ways. Not just members with one another, not even members of one another, but members one of another. It's a much closer relationship he's talking about here. It's an interconnectedness within the body, like the human body. I mean, think about it. What happens to any one individual part of the human body, good or bad, affects the whole body, doesn't it? Amen. Just remember, think about it, when you have a headache, or a toothache, or back problems, or foot problems. Makes you feel bad all over, doesn't it? Ever experienced that? Yeah, I have. The older I get, the more I do. Well, an infection in one part of your body causes your entire immune system to respond. And indeed, it can threaten the entire body. And pain will raise blood pressure all over your body, even though the pain is from one place. Do you see what I'm saying? It affects the whole body.
Now, every member of the body has its role, and some roles may be more important than others, but listen to this. None of them is unimportant. All of them are important, no matter how old, how young, from the newest member to the one who's been the member the longest. Everyone is important and has a function to fulfill in the body. And whenever one member of the body is hurting or is not fulfilling its role properly, it affects the entire body. It has an impact on the entire body because we're individually members one of another. The New International Version gets at the meaning of what Paul's talking about here when it translates the phrase this way, and each member belongs to all the others. Because indeed, what Paul's talking about here is belonging to the body. Belonging to the body. He's saying that when we belong to the body of Christ, we're vitally interconnected with one another. We may not sense it, we may not realize it, but we are. We belong to one another. We need one another, and we are needed by one another. So what should it look like to live out this interconnectedness of being members one of another? Well, isn't a big part of it submission? Submission to Jesus Christ as Lord, as the head of the body? We're His body. He's both the source and the sovereign of our life together. And in submitting to Jesus as Lord and head, there's to be mutual submission to one another out of reverence for Christ, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 5:21. We'll be looking out for one another's best interests. Paul put it this way in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. This kind of mutual submission is part of our submission to Christ. And belonging to one another and belonging to the body as members one of another also involves dependence on one another, doesn't it? If we're so vitally connected to one another, then we need each other. We must be able to depend on each other, drawing spiritual strength from one another, being able to turn to each other in times of need, whether it's spiritual or physical or emotional. And living out this interconnectedness means we can depend on one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we'll bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, as Paul says in Galatians 6, that we will rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, and that others will weep with us when we weep and rejoice with us when we rejoice. If one member of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part should rejoice with it. And likewise, doesn't this interconnectedness involve responsibility? We're responsible for our own behavior, absolutely. And when we mess up, we're to confess our sin and ask forgiveness from one another. We have to be responsible, but we also have responsibility to use and develop whatever natural abilities and spiritual gifts that God entrusts to us to help us build up the body of Christ in love and accomplish the work of His kingdom. So we have this responsibility of fulfilling the role, however great or small it may be, for which God has placed us in the body. And that's true for every member of the body. And when we're doing that, we'll be fulfilling our responsibility to grow in unity toward maturity as we help the body build itself up in love, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 4. And there's one more piece to the puzzle, and it's the one we most often overlook. Accountability. Belonging to the body as members one of another means we have to be accountable to each other. If what I do as your pastor affects you individually and the body as a whole, then I have to be accountable to you, don't I? It's the same for all the members of the body. It's true for all of us. When we live without any accountability so that anything goes in terms of attitude or behavior or morality or teaching or tactics, we are not honoring the body of Christ. In reality, we are dishonoring Christ and his body because we're not living individually as members one of another. Submission, dependence, responsibility, accountability. When we belong to the body of Christ, we're vitally interconnected with one another. And what we do, how we live as individuals and how we live as a congregation, our attitudes, our behavior, all that affects one another and the body as a whole, for good or for bad, just as what's going on for good or bad in one part of the human body affects the whole body. So, what happens here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church in the coming years will depend a great deal on how faithfully we live as individual members one of another. How we live together as the body of Christ. Remember, individually, we are members one of another. We all belong to one another because we are the body of Christ. Father, help us now to hear your word, to believe it, and to obey it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to a very special time in our worship as we gather around the Lord's table. This table is a powerful sign and image of who Christ is and what he's done for us. And he invites us, all who have followed Jesus as Lord, to come and share in this simple meal of bread and the fruit of the vine, remembering him and remembering that we are the body of Christ. Close our prayer by praying the Lord's Prayer together. And so now, Lord, as we come to this table of remembrance, this table of celebration, not just remembering that Jesus died for us, but reliving what he has done for us, experiencing redemption that he has brought to us. Oh Lord, may it be a special time of worship for us. As we partake of this meal in faith, may we partake of his body and blood. Lord, we know that it is through his body and blood that you have accomplished that great plan of redemption that you began so long ago. So we are grateful. And we come to celebrate that our Lord Jesus not only would the Word become flesh, Son of God, who became human, to redeem us. Not only that he lived a perfect life, not only that he died on the cross, but that he rose from the dead, and that he is here as our living Lord, hosting at this table. So bless us now, Lord, as we worship you. May we join in the worship of heaven, where seraphim and cherubim around the throne cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is." Lord, as we partake, may you be honored and glorified.
may we be strengthened for our journey. In Jesus' name, we gather these prayers and lift them in the words of that prayer that He taught us. Pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That night before Jesus was crucified, He had gathered for a meal with His disciples, and as they ate, He reached over and He took the bread and He gave thanks. Oh God, for this bread, which is a sign to us of the body of Christ, which He gave for us, and a sign to us of the body of Christ, of which we are a part, we give You thanks. Bless us now as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen. And He broke the bread. And then He gave it to His disciples.
And he said, take and eat, this is my body given for you. Late in the meal, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. Is it back to us of the blood that our Lord Jesus poured out on the cross to give you thanks? As we partake of it now, pray that it will strengthen us as we seek to serve you. And we'll dedicate ourselves to our ourselves in service to Christ. We pray in his name. We take this cup.